So this morning we have Aaron Forsland with us from Energy Guard Form Insulators, and he's going to talk to us about insulation. So Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, so
your company.
Okay, so Energy Guard has been in business for 15 years now. We got started back in 05 with a single spray foam truck. We've since, over the last 15 years, we have expanded. In Houston, we run seven to eight trucks on a regular basis now.
And
we expanded into the Dallas market 3 years ago. And we run 3 to 4 trucks a day up in our Dallas market as well.
3 to 4 trucks. Jeez.
Yep. We started with nothing back in 2017 when we first got into the Dallas market, and over the last 3 years we've grown that business to where we're operating at least 3 trucks a day up there, and we have a fourth one for when we need it.
So did you start in Dallas because you didn't have enough business in Houston, or how did that get going?
No, we started, we decided to get into the Dallas market because we obviously saw that there was an opportunity up there. We have plenty of work in Houston, but like any company that's worth anything, we always want to do better and grow. We saw an opportunity up there. I mean, the two of the busiest housing markets in the U.S. are Houston and Dallas, and so we felt like as a company we were at a point where we could take the next step to grow our brand and our business and provide the services that people are accustomed to in Houston when they use Energy Guard. We wanted to provide those to the custom builders and the production builders up in Dallas that we had just never been in touch with. So,
is it your company?
It is not my company. It's a, it is owned by three brothers, out of Galveston. We are, those same three brothers own several construction-related companies that, and Energy Guard is just a part of their overall family of businesses. It's all privately owned, so.
Mm-hmm. And what's your role?
I am the sales manager.
Oh, okay. That's a good role.
It's got its challenges, but yes, it's...
Yeah.
It's expectations. But no, it's been good. I started out as business development. I was actually brought into the company to take us to Dallas. I'm originally from the Dallas area.
Oh, there's the connection.
So,
okay.
You know, my boss, I've had a working relationship with my boss for the better part of 10 years. And so when they decided to take Energy Guard out, you know, and expand into other markets, he contacted me because I've been using spray foam. I came from my background is in residential construction. I was a builder.
Yeah, he was a custom home builder, actually, within the same areas that we
built.
Yep. Ah.
So I've used Energy Guard for my spray foam for, you know, the better part of 10 years. And so my boss reached out to me and asked if I was interested in taking Energy Guard to Dallas. And I said, yeah. Here I am.
So... what made you make the transition from residential home building to Energy Guard?
I think it got to a point I kind of got burned out building homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, started out working in production home building, which is, you know, just nonstop. You know, you're building the same plans over and over again.
20 houses at a time.
Yeah.
You know, oh, so you were working for a big home builder.
Yeah, I was working for a big national home builder.
I see.
I got out of that and went to work for a small custom home builder here in Houston, and just kind of got tired of that as well. So I was looking for a change, and my boss called, and here I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I actually interviewed him back in 2014. He decided to take the insulation job. Because he was tired of building custom houses.
But I got you a good builder.
He did. He referred Reed, and Reed has been great.
Yeah, there you go. Sharing.
All the clients love
it. Sharing. Yeah. So. That's great. All right, so tell us a little bit about Energy Guard, then. What is that?
What is the
company? Is it a product, or?
No, so Energy Guard is it's just the name of the company. We specialize in spray foam insulation.
So where do you put the spray foam?
It would take the place of traditional fiberglass, like inside the wall systems of your home. And then we also...
Like the Pink Panther insulation.
Oh, okay.
But they spray it on the walls.
So ours is a spray applied product. We spray it in the wall cavities, and then we spray it up in the roof deck as well. We've used the same spray foam chemical manufacturer for the last 9 years now. We have a very good, strong relationship with them. They take care of us, we take care of them.
So what is it again?
The product that we use? Mm-hmm. We use a product from Carlisle Spray Foam Systems.
And it's, what is it, the ISO?
So the ISO is more of a commodity. There's five or six companies around the world that create the ISO side. Okay. Isocyanate is in, most of the things that are in this office right now have isocyanate in them.
Okay.
The proprietary part of spray foam is the resin side, the B side of the chemical. That's where the different companies like Carlisle and BASF and Isonine, that's where they kind of put their spin on the formulation, which is why they all have different products. So.
And what are they trying to do with their special formula? Is it makes it more energy efficient or?
The energy efficiency across the board with different companies, if we're talking about specifically open cell spray foam, and we can get into open cell and closed cell here in a little bit.
Okay.
But specifically for open cell spray foam, the insulation values on a per inch basis across the board are about the same. The main thing that the manufacturers are trying to achieve is higher yield, which means we can spray more with essentially less chemical.
Oh, I see.
So that's kind of where they're all trying to compete against each other.
And consistency in the product.
Right, which is why we've stuck with Carlisle for so long, because it's been consistent. We have, every now and again, we'll have issues, you know, something got tweaked in the formula and we notice a difference.
Yep.
But we go to Carlisle and say, hey, this is going on, and they look at it and they're like, okay, and they'll tweak it and make the adjustments that, you know, are needed.
And do you guys have like the rights for the Texas region, or is it just
like with Carlisle?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, so Energy Guard is, aside from the national companies and distribution companies, because there are some distributors out there that sell spray foam to whoever wants to come and buy it. But we buy directly from Carlisle. They send a 52-foot truck to our warehouse at least once a week.
Wow.
So we buy direct from the manufacturer. There's not a lot of other companies aside from the national brands that do that. That makes us unique, because we go through so much of it. We were able to work out a deal to buy directly from the manufacturer. We don't have to go through distribution or a middleman or anything like that.
So how long does it take you to spray like normal size house, like 3,000 square feet or something?
A normal size 3,000 square foot house for us would be a day.
Wow.
And that's going to be for all of the walls, the roof line. That's, you know, prepping everything, spraying everything, cleaning everything up, and we're back off of your job site.
And then how long do you have to wait for it to settle so that...
So the reaction, from the time that the chemicals touch and hit the wall to the time that the foam is fully cured, all of that happens within about 10 to 15 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's quick. So we're...
So when you're done with that day, everything's done.
Yep.
They clean up, carry on, and put
everything in trash bags and throw it in the dumpster.
So if we... No, we don't. We take it back with us. We take trash back. You know that.
I know.
So if we're spraying a house for Brent, we'll come in, cover all the doors and windows to protect them, obviously. We'll spray all the insulation. Any of the foam that's sticking out past the face of the studs, we'll shave all of that off so that Brent's drywall guys aren't calling him, you know, saying that they can't install the sheetrock. We shave all that stuff off the walls, bag it all up. All of that goes into the back of our truck, and we take it back to the warehouse so that we're not filling up Brent's dumpsters. But then aside from the energy inspection, which will happen normally the next day, I mean, Brent theoretically could start hanging sheetrock the day after we
spray foam his house.
It's a pretty quick process. Now, obviously, the bigger houses that we get into, those take, you know, a couple, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, depending on how big the house is.
But a
standard house, we can do in a day, easy.
So do you find that people have any kind of chemical reaction, allergic reaction to any of this chemicals that you're putting in the house, or not?
So when the two chemicals by themselves, people, it is common for people to have a reaction to the A side of the chemical. Once those two chemicals are heated and pressurized, and they come into contact with each other, which happens right at the very end of our spray gun, is the first time that those two chemicals come in contact. Because as soon as they touch, they start to create foam. They start, they react with one another. As soon as that chemical reaction occurs, and the foam expands and it cures, like I said, takes 10 to 15 seconds, that spray foam product that you see in the wall is completely inert. So it doesn't do anything.
See, that's important for people to know. Super important.
So you, a lot of homeowners will go online and you can find all kinds of horror stories about spray foam.
Right?
We see it every day. If the spray foam chemicals, the A and the B side, if they're not being sprayed at a 1-to-1 ratio, so one part A, one part B, if that ratio gets off and you've got too much A or too much B, not only will the foam look bad, but that is when people start to have issues, because it doesn't ever set properly, it doesn't ever cure properly, and it can continue to off gas and all those things.
Okay.
That's where people run into issues with having reactions to
reactions.
The spray foam.
So
all of our crews are trained by us in-house, and they're trained by the manufacturers as well. All of our crews know what good foam looks like, so we can tell within just a couple of seconds if something is not right. If the chemical ratio is off, we can tell right away. Secondarily, all of the equipment that the spray foam chemicals go through in our trucks have safety switches or kill switches, for lack of a better term, to where if the machine recognizes that too much of one chemical is coming out, it will automatically shut the machine off. So our men know what to look for. The machines have kill switches built into them, so if they get too far off ratio, it'll shut the machine down so that we don't have bad foam. So
that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So
who knew there was technology and insulation?
Yeah. Yeah, I love this.
So the new stuff that's coming out now is insane. Flow meters, and we've got a couple of reactors that are new. Our newest truck that we just built it. It's been in the field for 8 or 9 months now. You can print a report out at the end of every day that says, you know, this is how much A chemical came out, this is how much B chemical came out, this was your ratio, this was the pressure, this was the temperature. So it's getting quite advanced.
It's actually good for your records, so if anything does happen
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like, that's not us. Here's the records.
Right. Yep. So that's why the spray foam component manufacturers like Graco, they're a huge one, right? That's why they're doing this stuff is, you know, Graco wants to make money, obviously, but they also want to protect their the people that purchase from them. We purchase from Graco, so if Graco can do something like that, to where we could print a report out that says, no, this is what the chemical makeup of this house is, you know, our ratio is at 99%, you know, 1-to-1, that protects us as well.
Well, it protects you from any kind of lawsuit from your own workers, too, right. if they get some kind of reaction, right? Yep. Yeah. So. Wow. Because environmental, of course, is number one issue out there right now. Yep. Everywhere, you know, around the world, so... So does one truck then service one house, or does one truck service more than one?
So depending on the size of the house, we do a lot of work for Meritage Homes and Beezer Homes here in town. We spray 100% of Beezer Homes in Houston. We've been doing their work for 10 years now, and we've sprayed somewhere in the ballpark of 6,500 homes. For them over the last 10 years. Depending on the size of the house, we can do two small houses in one day with one truck. So all of our trucks, both in Houston and in Dallas, have two what we call proportioners. That's where the chemical is heated and pressurized. So that means that at any given point, throughout the day, we can have, let's see, we've got 12 trucks. We can have 24 guys spraying foam at the same time.
Wow.
In any given day. All of our trucks have two proportioners, which means that we can have two guys spraying out of the same truck at the same time. So a lot of companies, a lot of our competitors have, they might have one or two dual reactor or dual proportioner trucks or trailers or however they operate. All of ours are double proportioners so that we can have two guys spraying all the time.
So. Wow, so that's how they keep their overhead down.
Yep.
I mean, you only have 24 labor guys in theory.
So all of our crews, when we send a job out, we send all of our crews are four man crews. We've got two sprayers and then two helpers. Mm. So so we've got, you know, in Houston, we've got 32 labor guys. Plus, we've got other guys that do other things for the company. But yeah, we can have up to 24 guys spraying foam at the same time in any given day.
Yeah, compared to, I mean, if you think of some of these other insulation companies where they're doing the something called bibs or the bats, they may bring five guys to a job or six guys, and they'll take 2 or 3 days where these guys can do, you know, three or four guys and knock it out in one day. So that's how they're able to keep their price point so low, because they're so efficient. They have it down to a science.
And so what do you do to be sure that your crew is all Is it certified? Do they have the right training? And
yeah, so all of the guys on our crew, they go through a certification class, if you will, with Carlisle. So Carlisle will send representatives and their tech support people. They will come out to us, and they'll go out with, you know, new guys that we hire to be.
Oh, sprayed. So they'll go on this job. So
they'll
with
go
them.
Out to the job.
Oh,
with
okay.
Them.
Oh,
and they'll,
okay.
And they'll,
great.
They'll teach them how to spray, and then we can also. Carlisle is a local company. They're down in Pasadena, so they have a big facility down there where they do training at their facility in Pasadena as well. So we can send them down there for some more of kind of classroom training. But as far as field training goes, Carlisle will send representatives and tech support guys
That's
to
great.
Us, and they'll just go out with the guys for 3-4 days. Make sure that they understand, you know, what all the parameters need to be on our equipment to make sure that we're going to get good foam at the end of the day. And then we're continually hiring new guys as helpers and stuff like that, and we're continually training those guys, you know, to become sprayers, right? Because our goal is, you know, we want to bring people in, teach them what we do, and then train them to be better so that we just have a constant supply of sprayers, and we can just keep moving people up and bring new guys in, train them, and move those guys up. So,
and plus it sounds like there's new technology coming out from the manufacturers, so you got to get them into a regular training program. Yep. So if there's anything new that comes out with that they get trained.
Yep. So, and the new equipment that's coming out it's a lot easier to operate, I guess. It's all, you know, just like everything else. It's going to touch screen, and, you know, they can control the equipment in the truck from their cell phones. So if the foam is starting to look like it's a little bit cold or a little bit hot, they can pull their cell phone out of their pocket and turn the temperature up or down. It'll talk to the machine that's in the back of the truck.
It's all Bluetooth.
It's all there.
Oh, wow.
So they can pull their cell phones out, and within a couple of clicks on the cell phone, they can adjust temperature, pressure. They can see what their ratio is and make sure that something weird isn't going on. So,
and you must be doing something right, because you're working with the same home builder for 10 years and 6,500 homes for them.
Yeah. So we've been with Beazer for 10 years. They came to us, and I obviously wasn't with the company when Beazer came on board, but they came to us, and we helped them transition from traditional fiberglass to spray foam 10 years ago, and we're still doing work for them, Meritage Homes.
That is impressive, considering competition, and, well, plus you said price point is, you know, a key
very
consideration here.
And it's just shocking how much the price has come down on spray foam on the houses.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's, you know, Meritage Homes is the same way. We started spraying for Meritage Homes back in 2011 or 2012, and we've been with them. So we've been with them for the last, you know, nine years.
That's an impressive track record.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
You know, and we've got custom home builders here in Houston that have been using Energy Guard since almost day one.
Wow.
You know, so we've had some of our custom builders have been with my boss since 2006, when this thing really kind of started to go.
Wow. So. That's really great. Okay, so you're going to tell us something about open cell versus closed cell. What's that all about?
Yeah, so there's a whole lot of different types of polyurethane foam. The two that we focus on are open cell foam, which is what probably about 95% of what we spray is open cell foam. That's what you're going to find in residential construction, light commercial construction, because a lot of the commercial companies are starting to realize the benefits of spray foam, so they're putting it in commercial applications. So open cell foam is it's a point, it's a half a pound per cubic foot density, so it's real squishy. The chair that you're sitting on is open cell foam. The padding that you're sitting on, that's a form of open cell foam. Open cell foam is an air barrier. It's air impermeable, which means that obviously air doesn't go through it. And that you achieve that air impermeability at 3 inches, give or take. So at 3 inches thick, open cell foam, air doesn't travel through it. It does allow vapor to migrate through the foam. But open cell foam is what we use most of the time for residential construction. It doesn't provide any kind of structural rigidity because it's so lightweight. But it's an excellent air barrier and insulator.
You mean from hot and cold and
right. So yeah, it stops the air. And if we're stopping the air from coming into a building, how can heat come in if we're stopping the air, right? Closed cell foam is 2 pounds per cubic foot density. So it's a lot more rigid. It will provide some structural rigidity. Closed cell foam is also at 1 inch thick, closed cell foam is a complete air barrier, and it's also a vapor barrier, so vapor can't migrate through it. Now, where you would use closed cell foam, we use that for crawl spaces, like all of the houses down in the Heights. We'll spray closed cell foam underneath the house to block all the moisture from coming up through the floor system. Right?
You mean for the water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vapor.
We've talked about water a lot and the kind of damage that water can do.
Oh, it can do not even bulk water, but just water vapor can do a tremendous amount of damage if it's left uncontrolled. So anytime that we're doing a crawl space in a home, we'll use closed cell because we know that if we don't, it's just the floors are going to warp and we're going to get moisture that migrates up through. So we use closed cell and that knocks that problem out. We also use it for dedicated wine rooms. If you're going to have a chiller, and you want the wine room, you know, cold and essentially damp. We don't want all that humidity migrating out of the wine room and into other parts of the house. So we'll use it to encapsulate wine rooms. Steam showers are the same thing. So that's where we use the closed cell.
And does it cost more to do that?
The closed cell does cost quite a bit more than the open cell. It's, depending on what we're doing, anywhere from 2 to 3 times more expensive than the open cell.
But these are all fancy things like wine cellars and steam showers, except for the areas in the Heights. So just to be clear, when you talk about the houses in the Heights, it's because they're raised off of the ground?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, the way that houses were built, you know, 100 years ago when the Heights was being built, they didn't have insulation anywhere. So it didn't matter if vapor and moisture was coming up through the floor system from underneath the house, because it was also coming in through the walls and it was coming in through the roof and it was coming in everywhere. Right. But the way that those houses were designed, they were designed to get wet and then dry out and then get wet and dry out, because there was nothing inside the walls to trap the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So they were designed that way to where they could, it didn't matter that moisture was coming into the house, because it would all kind of migrate up and then it would evaporate and go out of the roof and go out of the vents and all that stuff.
And dry itself out that way.
And it would dry itself out naturally. But with as obviously building practices have gotten a lot better and we're building homes tighter and tighter, we really want to control everything that we allow into the house, including moisture, which is why Energy Guard will not, like, we won't insulate a home with a crawl space if we can't use closed cell foam on it.
So that's just one of your standards.
Yeah, because we know what's going to happen. we know what.
And then they're going to come back.
It's going to
come. So another thing is also if you do an addition. So if you do an addition and the existing house, say it does not have any insulation. No, the existing house does not have any insulation. But the new part, the addition, has the closed cell spray foam. What happens is underneath the crawl space. So if you don't have closed cell spray foam under the existing house, that all that moisture is going to go around the closed cell spray foam and then up the wood floors to where the existing house was. And then you'll start having mold or cupped flooring at that area. You kind of know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. No, I mean,
so you have to go, if you're going to go do an addition, you need to do closed cell spray foam under the
entire house.
Crawl space area.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And we, you know, we, unfortunately, we've had some builders in the past that we have, you know, obviously our job is to sell spray foam, right? But I mean, we've had builders in the past where we've had to turn them down because like Brent is saying, you know, they have a house with the crawl space with nothing underneath the house, and then they add on to it, and maybe they just want us to do the addition, which is fine, but we always price in the entire crawl space because
yeah.
we know, and most people just aren't, they're not prepared to spend that money. They weren't anticipating, well, I don't need to insulate this part of the house. It's been here for 100 years, but yes, we do, because we know that you're mm-hmm. going to have problems down the road if we don't. So.
And we learn from history and, you know, people, you know, like Toner will come in, and Toner knows, and he finds
Oh, yeah, issues, look at his
right?
website.
Yeah, so go to his website. So we listen to Toner. I know I do. I don't know if you guys do, but we listen to what he has to say, and so you eliminate issues.
Yeah.
And mistakes, and you know, people that have been in that industry and they've been there, done that, you try to listen to what they have to say. Like, I listen to Aaron, you know, on a lot, you know, when it comes to, I don't say no. I say, okay, yes, whatever you want.
yeah, exactly. So who gets to talk to the owner of the house? Is that you, Brent?
Really, it's the builders, because it's pretty standard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the builder is pushing back on not wanting to spray the whole
mm-hmm.
crawl space, so
then we'll bring in Aaron, like,
okay,
say, hey,
you
need to
come talk
to the homeowner,
or a guy
named Toner, right? And then be like, hey, this is why you can't do it, because
yeah.
you will
give
have
Toner a bit of a plug so that people know who you're talking
yeah.
about here. Go ahead.
Toner Home Matters, basically. You know, you can just look him up on Google or Facebook.
But what does he do? He's environmental.
He's a building forensics guy. He's a building
yeah.
certifier. You know, he helps you build a house without having issues.
Yeah, and he
with the new building
really,
science, you know, with the new AC systems, the spray foam insulation, the windows, the doors, make
yep.
sure everything's thermally broken. And there's a lot of science that comes to building a house, and I've learned from mistakes, and hopefully I don't have any mistakes in the future. And that's why we try to bring in the experts, and we value their opinion.
Absolutely. And I think we're all going to have some mistakes in the future because the technology continues to change.
It's always going to change,
yep.
yeah.
And so things are going to happen as a result.
Yep.
So I think this is fascinating. So from just a complete layman's question here, but so, you know, a big issue in Houston is air conditioning,
mm-hmm.
right? So does this spray foam, the quality of this spray foam, does it cut down on your air conditioning bills or
yep.
not?
So it certainly can. The simple answer is that yes, with a fully encapsulated spray foam house, your utility bills will be less than with traditional fiberglass insulation. So you've got to be a little. We got to be a little bit careful with when we start talking about the AC systems, because if the AC contractor knows the AC system has to completely change when you go from traditional fiberglass to spray foam.
Really? Yes. Okay, that's you got to explain that. That's a big statement. Right.
So we could talk about this and really get down into the weeds for a couple of hours if you wanted to, but
yeah, just give us the overview.
But the overview is when you have a fully encapsulated spray foam home, the load, which is the AC load, is reduced tremendously because we don't have to worry as much about air infiltration coming through the walls and creating humidity issues in the house and all that stuff. The AC system doesn't have to work as hard to keep your home comfortable. The flip side of that is you have to have, if you're putting spray foam in your house, you have to have an AC contractor that is familiar with spray foam, because he's got to properly size all of the equipment. One of the things that we see over and over again is AC contractors that are unfamiliar with spray foam will size the equipment just like they would if it was a traditional fiberglass application. And what ends up happening, what happens is the AC equipment is oversized, and the AC system will run, it'll kick on and kick off constantly, and it'll cool the house down, but it won't run long enough to dehumidify the home, right? And that's what we call that short cycling. So if you've got a spray foam house, but your AC contractor isn't familiar with spray foam, there's the likelihood that he's going to oversize the equipment and cause issues down the road is fairly high.
I think
Brent uses a good AC contractor. I don't remember who you guys are using.
We use Collie as well as Comfort Air.
Okay, so Collie Refrigeration put the AC. I use them to put the AC system in my personal house. David's a buddy of mine. He knows what he's doing. He's very familiar with foam. But there are things that are different. You have to switch over from a traditional furnaces up in the attic for the heat. They will use the oxygen in the attic space for combustion air for the heater. Well, in a spray foam house, we aren't allowing any oxygen to come into the attic space. So the AC system, the furnace, has to be upgraded so that we're drawing combustion air in from the outside.
Fresh air intake.
Air intakes. In a spray foam house, because we're not allowing air from the outside to come in or air from the inside to escape as freely, we have to mechanically introduce fresh air into the home so that the air stays fresh, I guess. That's why I call it a fresh air intake, right?
What is that percentage of fresh air normally?
Oh, I'd be lying if I told you, man.
It's around 25%, I believe.
I think maybe
30% of fresh air they bring in from the outside.
I know enough about AC systems to be dangerous, but I am no expert. So,
well, you know a lot about the whole process.
Yeah,
for sure.
You
have to.
Yeah. But so there's just things that you have to do, but at the end of the day, I think the old, and Brent helped me out, the old adage used to be, or the old calculation used to be, with fiberglass, you needed 1 ton per every 500 square feet.
Correct.
Of living space.
Correct.
Right, for traditional fiberglass. With spray foam, that number is closer to 1,000 square feet of AC, 1,000 square feet of home per 1 ton of AC. So, you can...
So that eliminates, like what he said earlier, the short cycling. So your AC system will turn on, dump all that cold air, and only sit on there for 1 minute, then it turns off. But what people don't realize is whenever it turns on and then turns off, it's dumping all that humid air stuck in the ducts, dumps it into your house. So you're pumping humid air into your house.
Oh, my God.
But the AC's purpose is to pull out the humidity. So basically it turns on, blows a bunch of humidity, and it gets the air kind of cold, and then it turns off, but you still have that humid air in the house.
Wow.
So then you have to introduce dehumidifiers, standalone dehumidifiers, and all kinds of other stuff. But there's a lot of science that goes into building a house, and that's why you hire the right people that knows all sides of the business. You know, coming where Aaron, he used to be a custom home builder. He understands, you know, windows, doors, foam, the whole science behind the house, the exterior envelope, you know, all that good stuff. So,
okay, this is all fine for a new house, but what if it's an old house and it's already got the fiberglass and it's already got the air conditioning systems and all of that, and they want to remodel and they want all the, you know, latest and greatest foam energy?
You know what we can do? What is happened? We can talk about Oxford. Did you do Oxford? Where we did the dowel foam board on the historical house and sprayed it.
Oh, yeah. We just did that. Yeah, so...
Stand off.
So, it kind of depends. It kind of depends on what... As a homeowner, if you went and bought a historic home in the Heights and you wanted to make it super energy efficient, the short answer is that you can do it. It's just going to take a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's not a good way to retrofit spray foam into a wall cavity without completely removing all of the drywall fiber and pulling the fiberglass out.
That's what I thought.
Well, in a historical house, you have to pull the sheetrock off and the shiplap.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Because
they use the shiplap for structural integrity.
Correct. So what we do is we put shims on the exterior shiplap, like a half-inch shim. And then we'll put blue dowel foam board, blue board, like a, you know, as the vapor barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll flash it with a spray foam insulation, closed cell spray foam.
Yep.
They'll hit it with 1 inch thick. So then you have that barrier, and then you can do your foam on top of that. So that's how you get the spray foam. But then you got to go and put the shiplap or...
All of it back on again.
Yeah, or plywood, whatever is easy. So yes, you can do it, but there's a right way to do it. One thing that you cannot do is, in an old historical house, don't put regular insulation in the walls, because you will have mold.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. You will have
there's mold. A lot of lessons in here, I can tell by the sound of your voice.
So I mean, we get a lot of homeowners that call and they're looking for a way to reduce the temperature in their attic, and so they call and say, we want to spray foam our roof line. So the very first question that I ask and that all of my salespeople ask is, where's your water heater and what kind of water heater is it, and what type of furnace do you have up in the attic? Because going back to what we were talking about a minute ago, you know,
air,
you've got to change. You can't go into every house out there and spray foam the roof line and be okay. I don't have spray foam in my house because I bought a house that was, you know, 30 years old, and I can't put spray foam in my attic. I don't have the right furnace up there, and my furnace is only 5 years old. But I didn't spend the money on the sealed combustion furnace and all that stuff that you need for spray foam, so I'm left with, you know, old fiberglass insulation up there. So we get a lot of people that call and want us to spray foam just the roof line. We're very, and to kind of further that point, when you start talking about remodels and retrofitting houses, we're very cautious and very mindful of which remodel projects we'll get involved in. If it's a full gut and a remodel, by the time you gut everything, it's almost like new construction again anyways.
Yeah, because you're taking it all the way down
to the
studs.
They are the experts when it comes to the old historical houses, for sure.
So the one that we did on Oxford, I think Toner's actually the one that came up with that blue board shim system.
It is.
It's a genius system. And I've actually used something very similar up in Dallas for a crawl space that we had no access to.
Oh, wow. So you have that air gap between the bottom of the subfloor.
Well, what we did is, crawl space didn't have access to get into it. It was only, you know, 6-8 inches off the ground. big remodel, the builder pulled all the subfloor up in the house and installed essentially 2x4 runners inside all of the floor joists, put the blue board on top of it to where he left about 2.5 inches, you know, from the blue board back up to the top of the floor joist, and then we just went and sprayed all that in there, and he put all the subfloor back down. But I actually kind of got that idea from Toner.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it worked in the wall. Why wouldn't it work here? Went back with closed cell.
And that's all you got.
And off we went.
And did it work?
Yeah.
So far.
No. Brilliant.
Yeah, it works. You have a proven record. You know the science behind the product. I mean, closed cell spray foam is hard as a rock, basically.
Yeah, it's very dense.
It doesn't let any water in through it, so.
And then, you know, we were spraying it right on top of blue board, which is a vapor barrier in itself, so we were double protected. So.
Well, this is fascinating. Who would have thought that we could have had 45 minutes with you to talk about?
We could go for several more hours if you wanted to.
Yeah,
because it's really, you can get into historical houses, you can get into new construction, you can get to open cells, you can get to slow close cell.
Yeah.
But really, for the most part, the builder is the one that is, it seems like, is more responsible on talking with the right people to make sure that they don't have issues with the homes. So, but you also bring in the experts, and they will also come in peace of mind. So when they walk the houses, they'll say, hey, you need to put a demising wall up and spray foam this, you know, saves you money here and there. And they come up with other techniques around fireplace, chimney flues, and it's just got to be very careful around combustible material as well. So you just have to have and the spray is also very important, because, I mean, they can have, it's very, you have to have the right sprayers. That's probably the biggest part is the sprayers.
I think that is, you know, there's one of my favorite radio stations from the Dallas area, The Ticket, right? So one of the things that they always say, and I heard it the other day, and it reminded me of Energy Guard, is one of the things that they always say is when they're talking about their competitors, is that they say, we can do what they do, but they can't do what we do, right? And so I think about that. I started thinking about it from Energy Guard's perspective. You know, there's a lot of, we can do the same thing that every other spray foam company out there does, but there is no other spray foam company in Houston or Dallas, for that matter, that can do what we do. The amount of just continuing education that we all go through as a management group, the knowledge base that everybody that's a manager at Energy Guard comes from a home building background. So we all understand how buildings go together. So there's a lot of things that we offer. You know, I don't want to just be the spray foam guy that Brent and Reed calls when they need us to come and spray foam a house. Our goal is to be a resource for guys like Brent and Reed. So when they do run into situations where they don't know what to do, they can call us.
Yeah.
And they get our opinion. We deal directly with homeowners all the time. If you know, if a builder is, you know, being questioned by a homeowner, and we don't expect builders to know everything about spray foam. Like, it's our job to know everything about spray foam. It's not Brent's job to know everything about spray foam. Like I said, we don't want to just be the spray foam guys that they use. We want to be a valuable resource that where they can lean on us if they need help.
We want to collaborate together.
Yes.
My favorite word.
Yes, that is your favorite word.
So, and I think, you know, I don't know of any other companies out there that spend the amount, the time, and the effort to go through and take the time to be that resource for their builders. Because
do it right the first time.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to spray foam, but it's a lot more than. Everybody wants to sell foam, but it's a lot more than just being a sales guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's a good note to end on. I think that's a great summary. So thank you for that. Brent, you want to...
Do you have a website or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Or phone numbers?
Yeah, so you can... office phone number is 713 861-3626, and you can ask for myself. Our website is www.energyguardfoam.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Facebook, and we're creating an Instagram. And
very nice.
We're doing the whole thing.
The whole thing. Good we're, for you.
Yeah, we...
good for you.
We're trying to become a 21st century
company. Well, it sounds like you are with all the technology, so...
That's
so,
it. That's
thank
it.
Thank you for coming in. And if you guys want to listen to the rest of the interview or the entire interview, go to our website at www.texasmb.com. Follow us on Facebook. Go to our Instagram page. Follow our stories on our current projects, and even check out our YouTube. Thank you for listening.
Awesome. Was that like a live video?